Have your Bible, turn with me please to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and follow along as I read beginning at verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning and take the next few minutes and look into your word. We know it's true. We know you have something to say to us today. So quiet our hearts, block out the distractions, and help us to focus on what is written here. Our needs are as unique as we are, but we've come to hear from you today. So while I ask you to use your servant, keep him out of the way, and teach us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're beginning this morning our study in the first letter of Paul to Timothy. He simply describes himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus, and he's writing to Timothy, a pastor. In fact, 1 Timothy, along with 2 Timothy and Titus, form a group that we refer to as the pastoral epistles, letters written to pastors. And so my approach will be a little different for these three books. One, we will study them chronologically. We'll study 1 Timothy. Then we plan to study Titus. And then we will study 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy is written sometime after the events of Acts. Sometime between the two imprisonments. Paul is imprisoned twice in Rome. The book of Acts ends with him in prison in Rome, but about to be released. 1 Timothy is written after that. 2 Timothy will be written while Paul is in prison the second time and about to face death. Titus is written in between. So we'll handle them chronologically. But along with that is this approach. Normally, when we're teaching and we're looking at Scripture, it's a matter of what is God saying to us. And while I won't exclude you, these are pastoral letters, and I have to look at them asking, what is he saying to your pastor? What is he saying to me? So perhaps this study will be a bit more personal as we make our way through. What is he saying to me? Well, in these first two verses, 3 and 4, guard the truth. Verse 3 says, as I urged you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. We believe from the book of Acts that if Paul did not introduce Timothy to Jesus Christ, if Paul was not used by God to lead Timothy to faith, Paul was certainly used to bring him along. And as a result, Timothy went with Paul and Silas on their missionary journeys. Paul spent a great deal of time in Ephesus. He was concerned about the church in Ephesus. You may remember that from our study in the book of Ephesus. But later on, there were challenges, and Paul wanted to send someone to that church that would, first of all, represent the truth, represent God, represent Jesus Christ well, but also represent him, that the teaching would be consistent. Remember, we're still in a time where Timothy can't get up on Sunday morning and say, please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Can't do that. They are still dependent upon the portions of the Old Testament that they have, the writings of the prophets that they can teach, and what they remember of what the disciples have taught of the sayings of Jesus. And so Paul is not being arrogant here when he's asking or looking for someone whose teaching will be consistent with his own. He's looking for someone who will be true to the truth, the teachings of Jesus. And so when Paul felt it was time to move on to Macedonia, he left Timothy in Ephesus, knowing that Timothy, though young, would guard the truth. Guard the truth from what? Well, the end of verse 3. Certain men who teach strange doctrines. Now again, not to get them off the hook so much, but please remember this. The believers in Ephesus don't have the advantage that you do. I can misspeak and you can know it because you have the truth written in front of you. If Timothy were to misspeak, or if others were to teach strange doctrine, how would they know it was strange? How would they know that it violated the words of Jesus, the words of Paul? Well, Timothy knows. And Paul is saying, Timothy, be careful. There are going to be people who will teach things that just aren't true. You know the truth. Stick to the truth. Along with those strange doctrines, verse 4, myths. Now again, Ephesus is a city that would have had both Jewish and Gentile population, therefore within the church, Jews and Gentiles. While the Jews have the advantage of a written Bible, many of them can't read, and most of them can't afford to have a copy of their own. What happens? Memories cloud. People are careless with their remembering. Stories are embellished. The truth sometimes isn't enough, and so we add a little bit to it. And we end up taking truth and turning it into myth. In Timothy's day, first century, it's a Greco-Roman world. It's a world that is, the culture is at its foundation Greek, and on top of that, Roman. There was much mythology in the Greco-Roman world. There were a lot of ideas floating around about creation, about God, gods, and their interplay with creation and humanity. Great stories. And if you're not careful, you can forget where truth ends and myth begins. Paul tells Timothy, guard the truth and make sure that it's the truth that is being taught. Endless genealogies, maybe even coming out of that. Some of you know a bit of Greek mythology and Roman mythology and the stories of how the gods had children, and sometimes children with humans, and all sorts of strange things that happened. Again, stories. The Jews were very, very concerned about genealogy. For some, their salvation came down to, who are you a son of? Believing that if they could trace their genealogy back to Abraham, that by definition meant their place in heaven. We are sons of Abraham. We're the chosen ones. We're the special ones. We're the saved ones. And those genealogies then can give rise, Paul says, to mere speculation. Then we get to, rather than teaching what God has said, what we know to be the truth, we start teaching and we start leaving with what so-and-so said. And unfortunately, there has been so much confusion in our day that even good people are more aware of what Pastor so-and-so says about something than they are about what the Bible says, or where you would find what the Bible says about that. So much so that you can come to any conclusion you want about any issue, and you can look far enough until you find someone who's teaching in agreement with the conclusion you've already drawn, and nobody bothers to say, but what does the Bible say about that? And we end up teaching mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. And I don't know where that translation came from necessarily. Literally, Paul says, furthering the provision of God. And so your Bible maybe says furthering God's work. Again, getting so caught up in strange doctrines, myths, endless genealogies, and mere speculation that we're no longer concerned about what has God said. And at the end of it, it is all by grace through faith. He says here, the administration of God, which is by faith. Looking for salvation everywhere else, forgetting that it is by grace through faith. Paul tells Timothy, guard the truth. Now, the best way for Timothy to guard the truth watch your attitude. Watch the way in which you do this. And I think if this was ever true, it's true today. It's not just a matter of how you guard the truth. It's not just a matter that you teach the truth. It's also how you do it. But the goal of our instruction is love, verse 5 says. From a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. As you are teaching the truth, are you doing it in love? Now, that can be a slippery word. So he says, from a pure heart, for instance. What's your motive? Is it because you truly love others and want to make sure that they know the truth, hear the truth, respond to the truth? Out of a pure heart? A good conscience. Do you know the truth? Are you consistently teaching the truth? Or have you been picking and choosing? That's the trap some of us fall in. Because we've already committed ourselves to this book. We already believe this is the Word of God. But even with the Word of God, even with the truth, we can pick and choose. And still end up with error. Because we haven't taken in the whole counsel and understood it all. So, what are you doing? Are you teaching it all from a good conscience? Or are you, pastor, picking and choosing, trying to not necessarily mislead, but wanting to bring people to your conclusion without, again, carefully considering everything God's Word says about an issue? And then he says, with a sincere faith. Sincere can also be the word genuine, because that's what the real thing. This is not sincere in the sense, well, I really think this is true. I'm being sincere now. That English word really doesn't do it here. It's the idea of being genuine, being the real thing, without error, without blemish, real faith. And when we talk about real faith, we have to talk about the focus of that faith, right? And that's not me and my ability. It's about the person upon whom that faith is focused, Jesus Christ. So if you're guarding the truth, You must watch your attitude because it has to be done out of a genuine love for others with a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. In contrast to that, he says, because some, verse 6, straying from these things, forgetting how to do this with a proper attitude, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion. That's really close to mere speculation, that idea, fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand what they're saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. Now, there's a little bit of uncertainty here when he says wanting to be teachers of the law. Now, my Bible capitalizes the L on law, and then when you see the phrase the law, almost always refers to the law that God gave to Israel through Moses. The 613 laws that God gave to Israel contains their moral law, codified in the Ten Commandments, but along with that, the ceremonial law and their civil law. And if you're not teaching with an attitude of love, genuine concern for one another, with a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith, it's very easy to slip into law. The law. Or if your Bible doesn't do that and it's just speaking in terms of law, it's the same illustration in that we move from faith, a sincere faith, to legalism, a list of do's and don'ts. And usually that list of do's and don'ts, from a pastoral position, puts him, me, in a good light, so that I can look down at the rest of you and say, you don't measure up, but you need to. Did the perfect teacher ever do that? No. Could he have? Could Jesus have done that? Absolutely. But he never did he? These teachers, Paul says the problem is they don't even know what they're talking about. They want to present themselves as teachers of the law. Is it the, capital L-A-W, the law, the 613 laws that God gave to Israel, the Ten Commandments, and the moral law that God gave to Israel? Is it all about that? And they want to be these great teachers? Could be. Or is it more likely what that has replaced within the church? This legalism, this list of do's and don'ts. If you do this, you're okay. If you, even a list of do's and don'ts, right? Some things you're supposed to do, some things you aren't supposed to do. We all decide what that is, and we all walk alike, talk alike, look alike. Paul is saying when you stray into that, you can't be sure you're teaching the truth. So, Pastor, guard the truth. Which is possible because the truth is objective and unchanging and verifiable. Even if you're not really sure right now, everything I've taught you is true. You can go home, search your Bibles, and find out whether it has been. Because truth is objective. There's no wiggle room in truth. And because it's God's truth, it's unchanging. It doesn't change from day to day, culture to culture, century to century. Truth is truth, and it's unchanging. So guard it. How do you guard it? You teach it. You teach it consistently enough so that those whom you teach will know error when they hear it. Guard the truth. And watch your attitude. Pastor, you've been blessed to stand where you stand, to do what you do. It must not be done with an attitude of arrogance or superiority or the notion that you have arrived and you hope that someday these folks will too. No, no, not at all. Rather teach, Pastor, from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a genuine faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. And I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately. Paul is talking directly to a young pastor who has to at times feel overwhelmed by the responsibilities in that church. He didn't have all the training that Paul had. He didn't have the privilege of the training that I have had. But he was your choice in that church at that time. And you used Paul to encourage him. But these words of encouragement were so important. And Paul wrote them under the leading of your Holy Spirit so that they could be preserved. So that Paul is not just talking to Timothy as he pastors in Ephesus. He's talking to, you are talking to, every pastor, pastoring anywhere. May we be consistent as we work our way through this letter from Paul to Timothy, from you to me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.